Lift up another good shout. Say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in today. Let's get right into the Word of God. I want to talk this morning about giving thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks in all circumstances. And the Word of God says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So the question becomes this morning, when should I give thanks? And the Bible says this, in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so what does this mean? Well, let me show it to you in the New Living Translation. It says this, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So now, say it with me, no matter what happens, I'm going to be thankful. Now, I want to just tell you something right now. 2020 is a year where this verse has been road tested. Oh, my goodness. We are having to remember to be thankful in all circumstances. So the question then becomes not when should I give thanks, when is the in all circumstances, but why should I give thanks? Well, the why is this, because it's God's will for you. It's God's will. In fact, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God for you. And I know that you want to be in the will of God and to do the will of God, but to be in the will of God and to do the will of God, you have to be thankful. I want to be thankful because it's God's will that I be thankful in all things and all circumstances. Years ago when I was going to college, an author came on the scene back at that time that we didn't really know anything about, but her name was Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. And Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker with her family. They lived in Holland during World War II. And of course, during World War II, the Holocaust was taking place where more than 6 million Jews were being killed. But Corrie and her family lived in Holland together. They were Christians, and they lived kind of in one of these storefront houses, or what would they call them, like three stories up kind of a thing. But they had a small house, but they also had in the house an attic at the top. And at the top, they would take in Jewish people who were just bound to go be sent to the crematoriums and be killed. Remember, they killed over 6 million of them. They would hide them, and they would hide them in this attic. And that attic became known as the hiding place. And so that became the title of Corrie's most famous book that she ever wrote, was The Hiding Place. It's also become a movie, and you can still find it on Amazon and Kindle and Amazon Prime Movies, The Hiding Place movie. But I'm just saying that they hid people, and they hid the Jewish people, and they kept them from being taken by the Nazis. So eventually, sadly, they were eventually caught, and Corrie and her family and the Jews were shipped to a concentration camp. So she and her family had to go off with the Jews and her family, who were Christians, but they all got sent to a concentration camp because they had kind of provided housing, you know, a hiding place for the Jews. And so they all went. So in that concentration camp, Corrie and her sister Betsy, they began to tell Christian stories, and they had studies together in this crowded, lice-infected barracks in the pit of hell, right in the middle of the Nazi concentration camp. What are they doing? They're studying the Bible. But this place is lice-infected, and it's a terrible living conditions. Bad food, hardly any food. They're becoming emaciated and all of that, but they're studying the Bible, and they're praising the Lord. They had lice in their hair. They had lice in their clothes. The barracks was completely lice infected. And I don't know if you've ever had lice in your family or lice in your house for just a little bit, but just a tiny bit can make a very miserable situation. So one day, as they were all gathered in this barracks, they were talking about this verse that we're looking at today. And it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And they thought, what could we be thankful for in the middle of a Holocaust? What could we be thankful for here in a prisoner of war camp where we know we're probably all going to die anyway? What could we give thanks about in these kinds of conditions or circumstances? So they decided that they would be thankful for, are you ready? They decided that they'd be thankful for lice. You say, are you kidding me? Lice? Why would they be thankful for lice? Well, they said, they got together, they said, the Bible said, in everything give thanks, so we're going to do what the Bible says. So they said, thank you, God, for the lice. Thank you, God, for the lice. It was like the worst thing they were facing, and now they're thanking God for the lice. Well, a few days later, it dawned on them that it had been many, many days before the guards had even come into their barracks. And when the guards came in, many times the guards would abuse them or put them down or whatever. And they found out that the German guards didn't want to come into their barracks at all because the barracks were lice infected. So the guards themselves didn't want to get the lice. So they stayed away, which means that Corey and her sister Betsy were free to share the gospel, to praise the Lord, to sing songs together, because no one was going to bother them because of the lice. And so they thanked God for the lice. Hey, everybody, that's really called stepping up to the plate. We just complain about the smallest little things, like not getting a parking spot at a supermarket. Come on. There's people that are facing so many things that are so much worse than we would ever even think of facing, and yet in the midst of this, they're thanking God for that. Now, so here's what I want you to see. You can always find something to thank God for, even on the darkest day when you're at the breaking point. There is something that we can be thankful for. Now, here's what I want you to see today. We're not in the middle of a concentration camp, not even close, but we are in the middle of a pandemic where more than 250,000 people have already died in America alone, and more than 12 million have been infected. And so we've been on this long trail right now, about 8 months in this pandemic. And really, when you want to talk about being thankful in 2020 might be a reach or might be hard for most people, and with good reason, because it's been one of the most challenging, wacky years that we've ever lived in our lives. I'm talking about everybody that you talk to, they go, I've never experienced a year like this. This is like a wacky, crazy year, and I think wacky is found in the Greek for something, I'm not sure. But it's been a messed up year. But I'll tell you what, there's still many things, even in the middle of the mess that we're in, there's many things that we can be thankful for. Just think about it. Honestly, you can be thankful that even though, you know, we've had to be sheltered in, we've been sheltered in with a lot of good people, our own families. It's kind of like for the last several months, hey, I haven't seen you lately. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, all those years we've been just staying apart and everyone's on the run, but we've had a lot more time together. And so we've got to know one another better and figure some things out and study other things out. And it's been a good thing for us. We've also gotten to be better cooks. For the men that never knew how to cook, you're learning to cook better. We've studied more. We've sought God more. We've done a lot of things. So in spite of the bad things that have been taking place, a lot of good things have been taking place too. We've learned to have a heart of compassion for others that are struggling themselves. We've been more neighborly. We've been better to each other. So even in the middle of this circumstance that we're in, something good can come out of it. But, you know, I was thinking as we were talking about Thanksgiving, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, who is all of our heroes, you know. The Apostle Paul, his life, he's written so many, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Oh my goodness. And so even today, everything that I have to share with you today was penned out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, all right? So every scripture we have to share for the rest of this message is all going to come from the Apostle Paul. What I'm trying to tell you is that the Apostle Paul lived a very rugged life with a lot of distress and a lot of bad circumstances, and yet he's the one in Scripture that encourages us the most. Go think of it. So it's really ironic how his life was just packed with drama, and yet he's the one that's encouraging us the most. I mean, he was almost beat and left for dead and kicked around and whipped. In fact, here's how Paul describes his life. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 23, he says this, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. How many times have you faced death? Not many times in your life. He says, I've faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes or 39 stripes. And in the Jewish culture, 39 was the limit of stripes, or the limit of whippings that you could give someone, because they said by that time, even the 40th stripe might kill the person. You know, it takes you right to the very end of your life, but we stop right there. But five different times the Jewish leaders gave him 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and I'll tell you what, when he was stoned and left for dead. They thought he was dead. They just left him outside of the city, and then he got revived and went back in. Three times I was shipwrecked, he said. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. And, you know, once Paul was bit by a viper. He was just reaching into a fire, and a viper bites him when he's trying to start a fire on a cold island of Malta. I mean, talk about having problems and wrong circumstances. And then he says this, I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. How many of you know it's bad enough having one or the other, but he said, I had both of them against me. I have faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas, and I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but were not. Look, in this one passage, in one verse, he's faced danger four times. You think you've got drama in your life. You think you've got things going on in bad circumstances. You got to look at the Apostle Paul, and he's the one that's encouraging us today. Then he says this, I have worked long and hard, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I've gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without even enough clothing to keep me warm. I mean, honestly, that's bad. Then besides this, he says, I have all of the daily burden and the concern for all of the churches. He's got his own life of drama going on, and it was rugged back in those days getting the gospel out, but he says, on top of all of this stuff, I've got all of the concern for the churches. Well, Paul goes on to write to the Philippians, and here's what he said. He said, I've learned something. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I want you to see this today, everyone, because it'll help us. I want you to be content no matter what the circumstances are in your life. He says this, you know what? I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. The King James would say it this way, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. But he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. I've learned the secret of being content, whether living in plenty or in want. I've learned the secret of being content. What is the secret that Paul is talking about? Well, he says it in the very next verse. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Hallelujah. In all of this messed up situations we've been, oh my goodness, and everything we're going through, he said, whether I'm full or hungry, whatever I'm going through, I've learned a secret, and the secret is this. I can do all things through Christ who's going to give me strength. In other words, I can get through what I'm going through because I know that Christ is with me and he's going to give me strength. Oh my goodness, everyone, if you're feeling discouraged today and you say, I just feel like I've got nothing. No, you don't. It's not true. You don't have nothing. You've got God and you've got Christ with you. And if you've got God and you've got Christ with you, you can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ because he's going to strengthen me. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret, but you can be content even in the middle of your situation and go like, you know what? I know that God is working in the middle of this and he's going to get me through. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. So two major takeaways just in this message today. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And here's the second takeaway. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's going to keep me strengthened. Now, I want to give you some keys to contentment because I believe that a great part of thanksgiving, to be able to be thankful, is also just to be content in your life, all right? And Paul talks about being content. He says, man, whichever way life goes, it's going to be okay. I can be abased or I can abound. I can have plenty. I can have a little bit. But man, I'll tell you what, here's what I know at the end of the day. Christ is going to see me through and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let me give you four keys to contentment and they all come from the Apostle Paul, all right? First of all, quit comparing yourselves to others. Quit comparing yourselves to others. When you compare yourselves to others, you will only end up being frustrated or envious. You know, we always used to hear the expression, stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. I heard it written out this way, stop trying to keep up with the Joneses because the Joneses are broke. You know, the people that you're trying to keep up, they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay all of their bills. Be content and be satisfied with what you have. And then, here's another one. Stop comparing yourself with your Facebook friends who always seem to look better, weigh less. They weigh less and they go more places and more interesting places than you. Stop comparing yourself. You know they only show you their best shots. Come on. With the best lighting and the best makeup. Come on. So stop comparing yourself with your Facebook friends. They take a picture. Hey, I look pretty good on that shot. That's the one that's going to go into Facebook, but they've got 100 shots that are deletes because they were whatever. It wasn't perfect. Instead, learn to be content and thankful for what you do have. Don't complain about what you don't have, but thank God for what you do have. Now, watch what the Apostle Paul says. He says to 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. We're talking about, a lot of people say, I just like to have wealth in the stock market. No, no. He says there's another wealth that you can have, and the wealth is this. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Praise God. I don't want to know what your stock market value is. I want to know what your contentment level value is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think that's where the real wealth is at. Praise God. After all, he said, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and a sure thing, we can't take anything with us when we leave it. I've been to a lot of funerals in my lifetime, and I'll tell you this, you'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul because you leave it all behind. Everybody think about it. You're not going to be having a U-Haul trailer hooked up to your hearse because you're leaving it all behind. So we brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything else. So he says this, if we have enough food and clothing and shelter, I'm sure that he meant here too, but if you have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Thank you, Lord God. So that's the first thing. Quit comparing yourselves to others and learn to be content. Now, here's the second thing here this morning is this. Know that God is working all things together for your good and his glory. Know this. You've got to know this. And by the way, when you become a believer, you know some things. You've been through some things. You've experienced some things. And here's what you need to know. You can say it with Paul, who'd been beat up, thrown for dead, the whole thing, had all this drama going on in his life, and yet he could write this. He says, and we know. I want you to say it with me this morning. And we know. Say it with me. And we know. And we know that all things, the good and the bad circumstances, work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Praise God, you might be in a mess right now, but God's going to turn your mess into a message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. He's going to turn your test into a testimony. So we know that all things are going to work together for good. The good and the bad are going to work together for good because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. Praise God. So we've been going through this kind of just thing in life right now. All these things going on and it kind of like, what do we do? And I want to just, fitting with this verse right now, I want to just ask Teron Glenn, a good friend of mine and a member of our church here at Harvest. And Teron just let me know last week he had a spoken word that he just felt he wanted to share with those of you just to encourage you today. As we go walk through these months that we've been walking through. This is Teron Glenn, a good friend, with a spoken word. God bless you, Teron. Good to see you, man. God bless you.
Yeah, first I want to thank you, Pastor Perry, for this opportunity to share this thought-provoking word that the Holy Spirit, I believe, gave to me. And I just appreciate the opportunity to share with the congregation. This goes out to all my Christ-believing sisters and brothers. The message is this. Stop worrying and to love one another. I talked to some believers and they sound a little nervous because they wonder when there'll be another Sunday service. They ask questions like, How come restaurants can stay open? And how come certain stores? Isn't the church essential? We give to the needy and help the poor. And my answer is yes, you're right. The church is essential, but not like you thought. We the believers, we are the church, and this physical building is not. So this means we need to worship in our homes and go out to help those in need. Calling your sisters and brothers, that's how we plant God's seed. There's believers hurting right now, and they're at home alone. They need to be called and reminded that God is still on the throne. And you right now listening, you might be hurt and feel like life is unfair. When things seem too hard, know that Jesus will never give you more than you can bear. So whether it's the pandemic, corona, COVID, or whatever you want to call it, God the Father, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit are bigger than all of it. So believe me this. I want to go back to church, the church house, just like the rest of you. But until they allow us to open these doors, I'm going to continue to spread the Jesus good news. So while you're quarantined, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do the same. And I'll be praying that you stop worrying about things you can't control. And I'll be praying in Jesus' name. And now, for the believer, regarding any kind of election, God is in control no matter what your selection. We can't be like the Israelites and put our hope in any policy or any man. Jesus was always intended to be the King of Kings on the throne of God on which he stands. I need you to really hear my heart and to really listen, because I've heard believers say, if I don't believe in their political party, I can't call myself a Christian. It's comments like that, they don't show love. They only bring division. We stop having relationship with Jesus and we go back to having religion. Jesus never intended for division, but for us to be one. He prayed this in John chapter 17, that we believers be connected like God the Father and like Jesus the Son. But we go back and forth on social media trying to prove we're right, forgetting that others are watching, and we're diminishing God's light. Stop fighting with each other and always on the defense. When we're arguing with each other, we're forgetting who the battle is really against. So believer, don't focus so much on your political desire about who is going to raise taxes and who's nothing but a liar. We have to know and trust that God is in control. And our job as believers is to lead the lost to Christ and let Jesus save their souls. You ask, how do we do this? Love, love, and more love. That is the answer. Not posting on Facebook, if I'm the opposite of your political belief, then I'm nothing but a cancer. We can't do that. We just can't do that. If this message cuts you and it was hard for you to hear it, please don't get mad at the messenger. Take it up with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray for my sisters and brothers, that you remind them that you are the comforter and that you will give them strength to stop worrying and power to love one another. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Teron. God bless you. Loved what you had to share there. Hallelujah. So what did we learn this morning? Keys to contentment. First of all, quit comparing yourself to others. And the second thing is this, that know that God is working all these things that we're going through together. He's working them out for good. Hallelujah. Third thing is this, be assured that nothing can separate you from God's love. This is so important. I want to tell everyone that's listening to me today at home and right here, God loves you with an everlasting love. You are loved by God, and you must know it. Be assured of his love, and that his love, that nothing can separate you from God's love. In fact, Paul wrote this. He says this, "Who shall separate us, or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Can any of those separate us from the love of God?" He says, "For I am convinced, I am sure." Y'all need to be sure of God's love. "I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor the present nor the future nor any powers," and I wrote down here, "nor any pandemic shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. So know, be assured that nothing can separate you from God's love. Here's the fourth thing this morning is this. Always remember the secret to contentment. What's the secret to contentment? Paul told us. Here's the secret. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul was saying again, no matter what you might be going through, guess what? You can still be content. Even in the middle of your mess, you can still be content because you know I can do all things. Christ is going to strengthen me. He's going to see me through in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to just end where we began this morning. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. On this Thanksgiving week and always, let's remember to give thanks in all things, not maybe for all things, but in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord God. We just give you thanks today. We give you thanks today that you're with us, that you're a faithful God, that you're a God that's seeing us through. Lord, as we watch your pattern over your people, you're a God that delivers your people from pandemics. You're a God that delivers your people from every enemy. And God, we just thank you. We give you thanks right now that you're going to see us through as well, and that you've sent Christ to be our Savior and also to strengthen us. So we give you praise today. Let every person that's watching today be somehow encouraged in you, Lord God. You're up to something good in each one of their lives, and we bless you today, and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. I want to leave you with a Thanksgiving blessing right now. And the Word of God says this, "May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in the name of Jesus." And all of God's people said amen, amen. So I want to just say happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday right here at Harvest Church at Home. I pray that you and your family and your loved ones have a very blessed Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll see you next week.